be in prayer to approach the throne of grace for Dan Hill, pastor of Southwood Bible Church in Tulsa. Take his name up to the Lord and for guidance and strength. Be in prayer for John and Judy Hintz. And I want to say that just in the sense of being the pastor here, just I'm so proud of you. John just said it was so wonderful teaching here. He loves the people here. Feels very at home, and he should, because when I go there, these people just like we are, and you can tell that we're all in the same momentum. And he loved being here and loved teaching, took him to the airport today. And I think anybody probably seen anything, those two funny guys who, "Oh, goodbye, I hate to see you leave." Because he's there, "Hate to see you leave." Judy says, "Come on." So please be in prayer for John, Judy Hintz, things that are going on in their life. Judith, you can be right here or right there. We got lots of places here. How about right here? So please take me both and Pat Hill, and Southwood Bible Church, and they're going through just little battles and things, so in prayer for them. Dan is the pastor of Southwood Bible Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'd like you to be in prayer for my mother, Phyrne, Fern Kenny. Just be in prayer. She's every few months she gets a little worse and a little worse. And just be in prayer that God, whatever God has in planned, and bring her to some peace. And appreciate you pray for her. Also, Sunday told you about Hannah Rivera. Hannah Rivera is the daughter of the couple that I met in the gym. She was the young lady that was, she's 19, 20 years old now, but she was in a head-on collision a couple of years ago, and still going through a lot of corrective surgery, and they messed up a lot of the nerves and things we were working on in the face and restructuring, and she's in just a lot of pain and things in her life right now. So please be in prayer for Hannah Rivera. Be in prayer for Spring Valley Bible Church in regard to finding whatever God has in store as far as a place for us to meet or whatever God has in store. A lot of different people. By that I mean experts in fields and looking at the economy, looking at trends and things. A lot of different reasons that God may have given us $300,000 over a three-year period. And I did not want to go into it, but it just may be that God has given us that to sustain us through some rough times in society and in our economy today, or pick up something that'll drop if things do go as some people forecast that they're going to go economically in this country. So what I'm saying here is just pray that we'll have wisdom, that we will be led of the Spirit, that if we're to find and buy a place now, or if God has something down the line a little bit, that he'll show us that. So please be in prayer. $300,000, we have found out, isn't very much at all. It sounds like a nice chunk of money, but it doesn't buy very much in today's society. So let's be in prayer in that respect. Now, does anyone else have anything we need to be in prayer for that you'd like to bring up for us to pray? Okay, continue to be in prayer for each other, as we are commanded and beckoned to do so by Paul and others, as people continue to walk in the spirit-filled life. A lot of distractions come up in the spirit-filled life, and turmoils and things, so let's be in prayer for one another too.
A gentleman has mashed his leg and had his leg
amputated.
Wow.
What's his name?
Gilbert.
Be in prayer for Gilbert. Do we know if he's a believer or not? Yeah, okay. It is interesting because there are people who things will happen in their life and it devastates them, and there are people that really have something like that, and they're able to go through it. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight in our study of the how of the dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. So let's be in prayer in all of these areas. And Okay. And so let's be in prayer for Gilbert. Whatever God was doing in his life, We don't know. He may know. He may never know until we get to heaven. But there are no accidents in God's plan, and that's one of the wonderful things we have, especially as believers, knowing that God is in control of the direction of our individual lives. So let's be in prayer. Okay, just bear all of these in mind as you work through your prayer time, and let's prepare ourselves now for our study tonight. Now, tonight we would normally study the book of Revelation, but as I said Sunday, I need two nights together for what I want to cover in dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. And so we will take that up tonight and tomorrow night. I hope that I get it completed in two lessons. It will be no more, I think, than three, but I'm going to try to do it in two. What we're dealing with is the how. We're not through by any means with the study of stress, anxiety, and depression or sad, but I do need now, I think it's time now, to insert in our study the what we'll call mechanics, because a lot of people like that. Anglo-Saxons like the word mechanics. We like to know the 1, 2, 3s that is demonstrated by going back to the heritage of the Romans in Anglo-Saxon history. We just vary 1, 2, 3, and we like to know those kind of things to function. And so that would be this kind of study. Therefore, we'll do some understanding of what is faith. I think we'll have a different insight into what is faith and how faith functions in this segment of our study. I can come back and refer to this segment of study. I did do part of this in Tucson, and then the last night in Tulsa, and I told both of them, don't call and tell anybody in my church that we did this, because we haven't even done it at home yet. But it's time now, and I just gave them a brief idea of what we're doing, and I need more than just that 1 hour that I did in those two cities to put this together where we can work our way through it. If you have any questions as we go through how to do this, please raise your hand, and I'm here to communicate. Because as far as I'm concerned, our study of stress, anxiety, and depression is one of the most important studies that I've done. And if that is true, and by some of the email and phone calls that I have received, including one just this day from a lady up in Iowa, if that is true, that it is one of the most important studies we've done, tonight and tomorrow night will be two of the most important lessons in it. And so let's prepare ourselves by a prayer, the teacher is God the Holy Spirit, to bring us to an understanding of these things that we're going to be studying, and so that he will be the teacher, reveal these things, because it's going to play with a lot of human viewpoint, a lot of psychology, psychiatry, and Christian counseling. On the other hand, I will say that not the spiritual aspect of it, but some of the things we're going to look at is strongly supported by some professional people also. So while it's going to offend many, there are voices out there that said, no, this is what's going on. Let's pray. What an absolutely awesome God you are, Heavenly Father, in that not only have you laid out for us the end of the times of man and the beginning of eternity future, to give us the confidence, the hope, the security of knowing that all things that are unknown by us are well taken care of by you. But not only that, Heavenly Father, you are a God who cares about our everyday life, about this very day, about our home life, our finances, our physical being, our marriages, our lives. And you have provided means, Heavenly Father, that we do not have to endure the suffering of stress and depression in our daily life, if we will but trust you, if we will allow ourselves to be who we are in Christ. Now, Father, as we go into our study tonight, I pray that your Spirit will be the teacher. Open our eyes to how these things are seen throughout Scripture, throughout how you deal with us and how we respond to you, Heavenly Father. Protect us from the powers of darkness and our own flesh that would seek to usurp this and say, no, it's something else. But enlighten us and let our eyes and ears see and hear what you would have us to see and hear. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we have studied that there are two natures inside of every Christian. There are two natures, and this begins because very important in our study. There are two natures inside of every born-again believer. It even sounds better. Okay, thank you, Jerry. Did we get where I am up to here, Jerry? Yes, okay. All right. Now, what God does with our flesh nature, God is not in the business of making you a better person. We have some young people here tonight. It is not a matter of working throughout all your life trying to make yourself a better person, taking care of weaknesses and trends of sin, and, well, I have this problem, and I have that problem, and I've got to work on it and work on it, and someday I may make myself a better person, or God and I will work together and make you a better person. God does not make you a better person. What happens to our flesh nature? He crucified it. He crucified the flesh nature on the cross with Jesus Christ. So that nature is, for all practical purposes, dead. Dead. Now, what God did was, when He crucified that nature, when we were, as it were, if you're dead, then He raised us up with Christ with a new spiritual creation, new spiritual being. So God does not make you a better person. God raises you up as a new spiritual creation. We have studied some of the things that God declares that you are in Christ by this resurrection with Jesus Christ in a new spiritual being. It is a difficult concept to understand. It is impossible for the unbelieving world, even the brilliance of people like Aristotle, and I'll be mentioning him a little bit, and I'll explain why, to comprehend, and many Christians can't even comprehend it, what happened when you believed in Jesus Christ. If you were created at that moment, a new spiritual being, just as you and I can physically see and experience our physical nature of being, just as real as that is, the moment you believed in Christ, you really became a new spiritual creation. So, and we have seen some of the things, and we're by no means anywhere near through, of who you really are in Jesus Christ. But there is a conflict with who I am in my life. There's a great conflict in our lives of who I am in Christ and my everyday life. I sin. I fail. I'm miserable. I hate myself. All kinds of things and turmoils and problems. So with these two that we have here, the flesh nature and the new spiritual nature, they add up to a severe conflict inside of every born-again believer. There is a conflict inside of us. It's going on all the time between these two natures. Best described in a passage that we read already some time ago in Romans chapter 7, I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I want to do. All of this conflict that we jokingly talk about, how a psychiatrist would love to have Paul come in and lay down on his couch and give that same speech, call up his wife and say, build a pool, honey, because, boy, I got a hot one. This guy is never going to be cured. He's going to be in here for the rest of our lives. Because it sounds that way. And if Christians are honest, now a lot of Christians get into some kind of a list that they're able to do, but if the Christians are honest, we understand there's this conflict inside of us. Well, I don't even want to think that. Man, I wish I wouldn't think those kind of thoughts. I'm not talking about wanting to eat something like Bluebell ice cream for an hour. This is worse than that. There's things that enter our mind, and we go, oh, I wish I wouldn't think that. There's a conflict, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I don't do it. There's a severe conflict going on inside between the new nature that we are in Christ and this old nature, which caused Paul to end up, you recall, in Romans 7, crying out, wretched, horrible person that I am in the flesh. Yet at the same time, we're a new creation in Christ, We're a new spiritual creation in Jesus Christ. And all the things that God says about us is true, but here we are, a wretched man that I am, so we have this conflict going on. Now, the issue in our lives, at any given moment, at every given moment, is which of these natures will be manifested. This is the issue in our lives. At any given moment, every given moment, whatever's going on, leisurely sitting around in your house, driving, work, church, something traumatic happens in your life, someone dies, something happens traumatic in one way or another, you lose a part of your body, as the gentleman, Gilbert, that Jerry brought up, lost his leg. Different things, all kinds of things, little things, big things. The issue is, people, which of these two natures is going to manifest itself in our lives? Now, I'll give you a good, clear, simple answer to which of these are going to come out at any given time and be revealed in our lives, and we'll build it from Proverbs 23:7. You don't need to turn there. You've already turned there before. Proverbs 23:7 contains the answer. For Adam, meaning the translation from the New American Standard, as he thinks within himself, so he is. Now, that's going to be our building point on how to get rid of stress, anxiety, and depression from your lives. As you think. Now, if you think in the realm of the flesh nature, that is who you are. If you think in the realm of the new being, that is who you are. It is that simple. Easy? No. Simple? Yes. Which of these will manifest itself is simply the one that you bring in and feed with your thoughts. In your daily life, which one will win out? Which one of these will win out? The answer? The area where you think. Spend your time thinking in the flesh? Guess what? That's the nature that wins out in demonstrating itself. Spend your time thinking in the power of the Spirit of the living God, the new spiritual creation wins. So, wherever you want to spend your time in thought is the one that is going to win. The great battle is going on inside your head. It's going on in your brain. And people, this is the momentum of our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. If you experience these, it is because you have chosen to be depressed. And we've already laid that foundation. Depression, stress, these are not things that happen involuntarily. You choose. I will no longer argue with anybody on that. There's enough people that are not even Christians who understand that principle. You and I choose to be. Something happens in our life. Ted Gilbert, I like what Jerry said about the man, has his leg amputated. If he wants that to devastate his life, to be an excuse for everything that goes wrong and everything he doesn't want and what he doesn't like, then people, that's the way it'll happen. If he wants to think, hey, I don't have a leg, but I got my body, I got my head, I can move on, then that's what's going to happen. You choose to be distressed, depressed, stressed out, anxiety is a choice we choose to be. So the conflict is fought inside you as you think. And this is where we will begin our journey on ending stress, anxiety, and depression or sad in your life. And I'm going to borrow, this is not original with me, and I don't even know who it's original with. I'll just tell you that right up front. But I like the concept because I can take the spiritual and make it flow. We are going to engage ourselves on self-talk. self-talk. We're getting into the mechanics of how do you do faith. We're getting into the mechanics of how to end stress and depression in your life. If you listen. If you'll understand it. If you believe it. And live it. You're going to see stress, anxiety, and depression slowly move to the shadows of your life. No matter what's going on in your life. Now, self-talk. People under self-talk, you can actually, listen now, you can actually coach yourself back into the spiritual life even when you're in the flesh. I'll show you how. You can actually coach yourself back to the spiritual life even when in the flesh. Now, I'm not talking about people with high IQ. I'm not talking to people who have strong self-will. Any Christian can do this. Any Christian. Teenager, you can do it. Adolescent, you can do it. This is not something difficult. You can do this if you want to. So this is what is at issue here. So you can actually talk yourself back to the spiritual life, even when in the flesh. Now let me ask you a question. Can you hear what's going on in your mind? I might even add it, word it better. Do you hear what's going on in your mind? Can you hear your inner talk? And I want to say that almost everyone already does, whether you realize it or not. I'll show you what I mean. If you experience stress, if you experience anxiety, if you experience depression, let me tell you something. You are listening to yourself. I am unworthy. I'm no good. I deserve this happening to me. All these kinds of things, and you start believing these kinds of things, it's because you're listening to yourself, what you have to say. Now, two things happen at this point in your life. Two things happen. You start listening to yourself. I am unworthy. I do not deserve anything from God. I am unworthy of God's love. I deserve what is happening to me. I do not deserve nice things from God. And all this kind of thing. I'm a loser. All of this. Two things happen at this point. One or two things happen at this point. One, you listen. You listen to what you are saying. Then, either you accept what you're hearing as truth, or you reject it. One of those two things happens. When your soul and your mind starts telling you that you are unworthy, and I've read enough of Job and David, I think, to give you an idea of how that can happen to Christians. I don't deserve, I'm unworthy, and all these kinds of things that are happening in your mind. You can either accept it or reject it. What we're going to see is that inside of you, part of you talks, part of you listens. And I don't want to hear any jokes about, yeah, the wife talks and the man listens. I don't want to do that. Or the man talks and the woman. I don't want to hear those things. I'm talking about inside of every one of us, inside of our own soul. Part of you is talking, part of you is listening. Here's the beginning of a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. Got two things I'm going to use as examples. And one that I'm going to use is something common to every one of us, the TV channel clicker. You got to, so you can sit there on your couch. Now, you teenagers know nothing. You know nothing about the old days where your dad and I, we had to get up if we wanted to and turn that checker. We didn't just get to sit there on the couch. We had to get up, walk all the way across the room to the little TV and turn that thing. And then go back, no, I don't want that one. Get back up and do it. You know nothing about those days. That was stressful. Okay. Now, got a clicker. You stay on the couch and you click. And you click. And you click channels. Now, what I want us to start thinking here, the channel of thoughts that get us into trouble is from the insecure flesh self, where we live under Satan's lie. the channel of thoughts that get us into trouble, by that I mean with stress, anxiety, depression, and a lot of other things, is from the insecure flesh self living under Satan's lie. The channel of thoughts that get us into trouble are those. Now, the idea of channels, why I'm using channels here, and I'm going to change this in a little bit, but I just want to work our way into what we're doing from very simple, and we'll put it together. A lot of channels. People, that's our soul, our mind, our being. We're fragmented. We're so fragmented. There is the old self, and then there is the new spiritual being that we are in Christ. So we're fragmented. There's this channel, and there's that channel, and there's that channel. And there are channels that we turn on and we know we shouldn't listen to, but we sit there and listen to it. There are channels that get us mad. There are channels that make us happy. There are channels that give us sin. There are channels that we're all so fragmented because there's so many of these channels. Now let me give you a principle. You are not necessarily what you think. I'll explain that. Whatsoever man thinketh he is. So, am I countering what the Bible says? No, let me show you what I mean. You are not necessarily what you think you are. Okay? So let's see if I can put this together for you. Scripture says, what or as a man thinks, so he is. That's what you are at that time. So if you think of that flesh nature, I'm going to use that one for our study, flesh nature, you think yourself as a loser, you think yourself as undeserving, and on and on and on, and that's what you become as far as your life is concerned. However, that is not who you are. Because who you are is who you are in Jesus Christ. Now that's who you really are, people. I don't care about anything else. Every one of you, if you've accepted Christ as Savior, that is who you are, is what you are in Jesus Christ. Therefore, one of the best analogies that I can use to explain what I'm trying to say here is a person, and usually it's a woman that we related to, who has anorexia. She looks into the mirror and she sees a overweight woman. Okay, whatsoever man thinketh, so he is. And as far as she is concerned, that is who she is. She is an overweight woman. And therefore, that's how she's going to live her life. I cannot eat anything. If I do eat anything, I've got to get it back out of my system immediately. Because that is. Now, is that who she is, though? No, we know that. She's a very thin, dangerously thin person. Dangerously thin. So what I'm trying to show you is, she thinks that she is this overweight, very heavy woman, and she's not. But that's who she thinks she is, and boy, that's the way she's going to live, and she's miserable. She cannot enjoy life. Is that who she is? No. She's a very thin woman. Now, you may think that you are this flesh nature. You may think that you are all the things of that flesh nature. And in the spiritual realm where you want to do things for God, I can't do those things for God. I'm a loser. I'm terrible. I'm undeserving. And all these kinds of things. And some Christians are very satisfied with who they think they are in the flesh nature. But all these kinds of things, I'll go to the hurting people, because that's usually what breaks. A person who thinks they're wonderful in the flesh don't usually end up with stress, anxiety, and depression. They just give it to everybody else around them. They're a headache to be around. What I'm dealing with is the people who experience stress, depression, and anxiety. And so they're good at because of all of this. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. Who you are, in truth, is who you are in Jesus Christ. Therefore, when the flesh self is allowed to be in charge, people, you will experience stress, anxiety, and depression. it will eventually bring you there. Why? Why is that true? Let me go tell you why. Your flesh nature has only one perspective of the world. Your flesh nature has only one perspective of the world and people. It goes back all the way to the garden. But Satan's law is true. I must perform. Opinion of others is crucial. And I tried to show you how this goes back to the garden and all of our lessons up to now, or throughout our lessons up to now, and we'll see it even more, but it goes back to the garden, and dear people, that's the only perspective the flesh nature has of the world. And you can just go with it one way real high, think you're wonderful, all the way down to I am a total nobody, I am a total loser, I'm a dropout of life, so it doesn't matter what I do in my life, and I don't care about it either. I think this describes the experience of the prodigal son. I can never measure up to what my self-righteous brother is at home. I can never be all this good, and I'm just out of here. Give me my share, and I'm gone, because I'm no good. I can't make the grades at school. I can't do this, and I can't do that. And so I'm just gone. And that's what the flesh nature has to do. So let me just give that to you again. When the flesh nature is allowed to be in charge of your brain, of your thoughts, of your thinking, you will eventually experience stress, anxiety, and depression. Why? Because your flesh self has only one perspective of the world, and it goes all the way back to the garden. It goes all the way back to Satan's lie. And let's be sure in this tape, we have Satan's lie down one more time. What is Satan's lie that goes all the way back to the garden? We see it with the first book of the Bible, written in the Bible, that's Job. It's basic and fundamental all the way through, that my self-worth is made up or equal to or made up of my performance and the opinion of others, especially certain others in my life. My self-worth is made up of my performance even before God and other Christians' opinion of me, and Christians will crucify you like Job's three friends did him. Now, self-talk, what we're dealing with, self-talk. Let's give you two things. Self-talk, if you will allow yourself to carry through and just stay with this teaching now for the next few hours, not tonight, but tonight and tomorrow night, and maybe next Wednesday. If I don't get through tomorrow night, I'm not going to rush this because it's the vital part of this whole study. We're dealing with self-talk. Now, if you'll get involved in self-talk, one, self-talk will teach you, in other words, as you become more and more experienced with it, self-talk will teach you all about your flesh nature. You won't need anyone else to tell you. Your self-talk will teach you. It'll teach you. In fact, you're going to be able to outthink yourself, your flesh self. You'll even be able to forecast what your flesh self might do in a given circumstance, and that's what we want to say is stop. We're not going to do that. More important, now listen, more important, self-talk will teach you how to break out of the habit. Secondly, self-talk is going to teach you how to break out of the habit of staying with the thought process of your flesh self. And you repeat that and think with me now. If it doesn't make sense to you, raise your hand. Self-talk is going to teach you how to break the habit of staying with the thought process of flesh self. And I want to talk about that. Teach you how to break the habit of staying with the mindset. I don't know what I said a moment ago, but to the mindset of the flesh. Number one is that it will teach you about your flesh Now, why didn't I say it would teach you about who you are in Christ? Because that's, we need to understand when we're in that flesh self, so we'll know what to do. Ah, this is not where I want to be. So it's going to teach you about your flesh self, and it's going to teach you how to break the habit. And see that word habit? That's the kicker. People, do you know why we stay in the flesh self? Because we've been doing it since we were born, and we're pretty good at it. And the older we get, the more comfortable we're with our flesh self. Do you know what? Please excuse me if I offend anyone. But if I make a total jackass out of myself every time, by the time you become an adult person, you don't care. You are so used to being a jackass and hurting people and not handling things and just going into some kind of a control jerk or run or whatever you do, you don't even care what anybody says anymore. You're very comfortable at doing that. How can you act like that? How can you do that? People, they're very comfortable with that. They perfected it. They have perfected it. And it works. People are scared of them. When their wives won't do anything, and people get out of their way, all this kind of stuff. They become very good at it. But we all have developed something in our flesh self how to do it. And it's a habit. And I don't know where it is later in my notes, so I'll just say it right now. People, why is it a habit? Because it's never been challenged. What we're going to do in this study in the next couple of hours, how to challenge this for the first time in some people's lives. How to challenge this. So, secondly, it's going to teach you how to break the habit of staying with thoughts, with the mindset of the flesh. Three, self-talk is going to teach you to develop the habit of switching channels. It will teach you the habit. There's that word again. Habit. Why do people smoke? Habit. And then it becomes addicted, but it's a habit. What do you think about a habit? All our life. So, we'll teach you the habit of making the big switch from one channel to the other. We're basically going to deal with two channels. We're going to deal basically with two channels in our study. And those two channels are, where I started tonight, the flesh nature that we are in our physical birth and the new spiritual creature that we are in Christ. Boom, boom. And what we want to do is be able to make that channel switch to who we are in Christ, and self-talk is going to teach you about your flesh nature. It is going to teach you how to break the habit of staying in the mindset of the flesh. It will teach you how to develop a habit of switching channels. People, if you stay with this, practice it. Practice it. Is that a biblical word? Boy, it is, and I'm going to show it to you. This is not human viewpoint crap I'm putting up here. This is spiritual stuff from the Word of God. And I'll show you practice, habit, in the Bible. But just stay with me. This is not human stuff. Self-talk will teach you the habit of switching those channels from flesh back to the spiritual. With practice, you will begin to notice. Now listen to me. With practice, you'll begin to notice the difference. And this is part of what 1 John is all about. You'll begin to notice the difference between flesh thinking and spirit-filled thinking. You're going to begin to notice the difference. The difference between two SLs in your life. You're going to start noticing the difference between two SLs in your life. You're going to know the difference between Satan's lie and spiritual love. You're going to start noticing the difference in your own thinking process. You're going to start knowing and telling the difference in these. Flesh talk. What is it? Flesh. When the flesh talks, it's going to be insecurity. Insecurity. And I've studied that with you now. So I'm building on things we've already studied. Our flesh nature is insecure. people is continually being corrupted, is deceitful, full of evil, is insane, it's insecure. That's why people are control freaks. Remember, we studied that? It isn't just your husband or just your wife or just your parents or just your children. It's in the nature of every one of us because we are insecure in our flesh nature. Now watch this. The flesh, when the flesh talks, it's insecurity. So what happens? One, inability to believe in the Holy Spirit. Inability to walk by faith. When you're in the flesh, and you're listening to flesh talk, here's your flesh, and it's talking, and you're listening, flesh talking. The first thing, people, that is going to happen, now remember, it's insecure. And because it is insecure, this is going to cause you to have the inability to just trust in the Holy Spirit. Inability to trust, believe, faith in the Holy Spirit for the spiritual Christian life, for sanctification. Okay, now, this isn't just drawn out of a hat. We've already studied that. How can you believe when you seek the glory from others? How can you believe when you're in the flesh self? You can't, people. Why not? Because the flesh self is insecure and therefore inability to believe. Secondly, your flesh nature fills your head with doubts and fears. Your flesh nature fills your head with doubts and fears, and these have made it impossible for you to just trust God, to trust that God can handle your life, that God loves you, that He will work all things together for good. You reach the point, I just don't believe that right now. I'm too big of a sinner. See, the flesh self, I sin. I'm a horrible person. I'm a loser. I'm no good. I'm insecure. So therefore, inability to simply just trust Him. And then secondly, you have the inability, the impossibility, that I can even do it. That it's not something that I can trust God to do. God is not going to handle my life. God is not going to. God does not love me that way. God does not love me to the point that He's going to do these things. I just don't believe that anymore. I mean, so insecure. Your flesh nature has caused you to doubt that you can even trust God. And there are two levels of trusting God. Trust God in regard to the one that He has sent for our eternal salvation, His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't believe I can just trust Jesus Christ and be saved forever. I've got to do something for God. Join a church, do a ritual, do this, do that. Invite Him into my heart, make Him Lord. I've got to have part of this. I can't just simply trust Him. Too insecure. Secondly, trust God in regard to salvation in the Christian life, trusting the Holy Spirit whom He has sent for sanctification. I can't just do that. I've got to perform for God to do something for me. I just can't do it. Now, there are a lot of passages that we can go to, and I just want to get you familiar with these concepts tonight. When we finish this part of our study tonight and tomorrow night, we will come back this way and we're picking up a lot of these things and building on them in other studies. But please look with me just for fun in Job chapter 25. I want to show you what can happen, how this works. I want to show you how this works. Look with Job 25. Now, please stay with me what we're looking, I'll be looking for. What we're looking for is that I'm in the flesh and therefore insecure. You've got to remember that. Anytime you're in the flesh, you're insecure. Because that's the nature of the flesh nature, that big five that we studied. And that means inability to trust, inability that God will do something for me. And now, Job chapter 25, let's just read together. If you're writing these things down, we're going to read verses 5 and 6 here. Chapter 25 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible for a multitude of reasons. But let's just look at Job 25, verses 5 and 6. If even the moon, let's read from verse 2. Dominion and all belong to Him, that is to God, who establishes peace in the heights. I won't even talk about it. I just want to move on. Is there any number? Clear his troops and upon whom does his light not rise? How then can man be just with God? That's what you start thinking as believers. I can't be just with God. It isn't going to work. How can he be clean who is born of a woman? In other words, I know I'm just no good. I can't be clean. Verse 5 now. If even the moon, that's Satan, has no brightness, and the stars, angels, are not pure in his sight, how much less man, that maggot, the son of man, that worm? And that's the way we feel when you get to this point in the flesh. I'm just totally undeserving of God. I have nothing before God. I can't perform for God. Look back at Job chapter 4. Job's filled with all of this, being the first book of the Bible. This is the first thing that God wanted us to know and to understand. Some nights we'll have to look, and maybe not in this study, but this study be appropriate, but we're going to have to study the fourth chapter of Job. It's a powerful chapter of Job. It's where Satan beats us down as Christians. Remember, Job is a believer. This is where he just beats you down. I don't care who you think you are. You're just no good. You're a sinner. You're no good. God's getting you. You don't deserve anything from God, and da-da-da-da. And Christians buy this stuff. But look at Job chapter 4. It's a powerful chapter in the study of the book. Let's just read very quickly verses 1 through 11, those of you that are taking notes, and that so that you can go back and look at it slowly, because I'm going to read it quickly. Job chapter 4, then Eliphaz, or one of his wonderful friends. Eliphaz the Temanite answered. Okay, this is one of his friends is a believer, probably, and comes to him and just brings such, crushes his soul. This is what your Christian friends will do to you, people, and it will generally always be a Christian friend that will hurt you the worst. Okay. Then Eliphaz, Temanite answered, if one ventures a word with you, will you become impatient? In other words, yes, you will. But who can refrain from speaking? Boy, not me. I'm going to put you in your place, Job. Behold, you have admonished many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have helped the tottering to stand, and you have strengthened feeble knees. But now it has come to you, and you are impatient. It touches you, and you are dismayed. There's our word for depression. There's our word for stress, depression. You are dismayed. Is not your fear of God? He means fear. He doesn't mean awe. Is not your fear of God your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? People, that's Satan's lie right there. Right there, if you want to see it in the scriptures. I have to perform. I have integrity for God. And as long as I have that integrity, God will be good to me. And I fear God. If I don't have it, God's going to get me. And see, this is why you reach the point you can't even trust him anymore, because I have no integrity of myself. That's when Paul cried out, oh, wretched man that I am, I have no integrity. I try to have it. I just fail. I'm no good. I'm just a loser. And the integrity of your ways, your hope, remember now, whoever perishes being innocent, meaning you're going to get yours and everybody else gets theirs. Or what were you, or where were the upright destroyed? According to, in other words, the unrighteous are destroyed. People, there's so much in these verses. Let me just help you begin your insight into this journey. Where was the upright or the most righteous destroyed or taken on in suffering? The cross. He's trying to say that it will never happen. And so we get this idea that this will happen to us. That's just another level of all that's going on here. According to what I have seen, though, oh, here's the, you ever hear those Christians? Hey, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. And if you sow those horrible seeds of sin, you're going to reap the horrible consequences of sin. And that's all they know about that stuff. Just want to get it. According to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvested. Dear sinners, we're going to get what you deserve. Did any of you get what you deserved at the cross? I sure didn't. I didn't get what I deserved at the cross. And Christ got what he did not deserve at the cross. So this whole thing is a lie, built on lies, built on Satan's lies. But by the breath of God they perish, and by the blast of his anger they come to an end. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The lion perishes for lack of prey. The wealth of the lion is all scattered. See, I can't trust God anymore. I don't deserve to trust God. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to trust him. People, where does all of this come from? You've been deceived by your own being. Your flesh self has actually deceived you that you can't trust God. Think about that. That's why it's so important to know your flesh self. What did we learn about it? Full of what? More deceitful than all else. More deceitful than all else. That's a powerful statement, because what your flesh self has caused you, it has deceived you into thinking, I can't trust God. That's why you don't want to stay in this flesh thinking, because this is why I gave you points 1 and 2. Your flesh nature will deceive you. One reason you have been deceived for so long by the flesh, and we're going to see this, is because very few people have ever correctly challenged the flesh thinking. I know many have tried by self-will, strength of self-discipline, by law, by learning lots of doctrine and applying it, all of these kinds of things, and still enslaved. We're going to learn how to correctly challenge the flesh nature. And it isn't. It isn't by putting, well, if I put lots of doctrine, that'll do it. That isn't going to do it. It's processed by the flesh nature. If I work hard, boy, if I just think good thoughts, it isn't going to work. The flesh trying to do it. We've got to understand these things. In just three simple steps, you're going to put an end to the deception of the flesh. In three easy steps, you're going to put an end to stress, anxiety, and depression in your life. You're going to discover a remarkable thing that's not going to sound so remarkable except to those of us who've experienced it. You're going to learn and see that you can really trust God with anything in life. Things aren't going the way I thought life would go. I don't have money. Time is running out in my age. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm stuck with this man in marriage. I'm stuck with this woman in marriage. I'm doing this and doing this. You're going to see all the things that happen in your life, people. One of the most wonderful things you're going to see in this study. You can trust God in anything. Little things, big things. And when you do that, there is no stress. There is no depression. As parents, things that happen in your marriage, things that happen with your children, you're going to see, I can really trust God here. I don't have to be stressed out. I don't have to go into depression. Things aren't working out right. Terrorist bombers are everywhere. Terrorist bombers now have come into America. I'm just saying it just happened. And they're just blowing up shopping centers, and they're blowing up this, and they can't fly. You're just going to see, you know, I'm not depressed or stressed out or fearful of all of that. I can really trust God in this. And if he wants me to go home when I'm in a supermarket, then that's the way I'm going to go home. I can trust him. I can truly trust him. The economy, things that are in my control, things that are out of my control. One of the most wonderful things, one of the most liberating things we're going to learn in this life, you can really trust him. And as you're going to see, there's going to be no stress, anxiety, and depression. You can trust him with the big things, little things. Money problems, romance problems, physical problems, sicknesses, things like that, things you don't like, things you like. People, if you'll stay with us now, just for a couple more hours with me, you're going to see you can trust him. I can really trust him. You will not be deceived by your flesh nature. Boy, I can't trust God here. I may get killed if I do that, or this may happen if I do that, or poor me, my children are no good, or poor me this or that, or I'm feared about that, or I'm distressed or depressed about what's going on, and on and on and on. Big things, little things. You're going to say, you're not going to really trust God here. I hope no one raises their hand here. Take a chance. Is anyone in this room who is fearful tonight, you may not go to heaven if you die tonight. We've got that down, don't we? I dare say every one of us got that down. We know that. Right? Even I know, even you're not depressed about it, you're not stressed out about it. No, we're not. I'm not ready to die tonight. But if I die, I know where I'm going. And I want to show you that same thing about that fact. The most crucial thing in your life. Where will I go when after I die? Will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? And there's no depression and no distress and no anxiety in any of your souls about that. I'm going to show you that that same peace and the absence of fear and distress and anxiety about it can be with anything and everything that happens in your life. Divorce, I don't care what it is. The whole world's against you. All your friends have left you. Everything's gone, like with Job. I'm going to show you. You can trust him. And when you do, in the most horrible, you can be a prisoner in prison. There's even a chapter in the Bible talks about a man who was even imprisoned and was homosexually abused by other men in the prison. Peace. Is that possible? Yes, it is. Is it possible to be abused by somebody, hurt by someone, and not go into a long distress and depression and all of that? Yes, it is. Our God is that great. You tell me a child will never recover when molested as a child or something happens as a child. That's your view of God. I'll show you another view of God. I'll show you how God has set up a way that child can have happiness and the absence of that stress and depression and those horrible attitudes about themselves. Just stay with us in this study. So tomorrow night, without any review, we're going to walk in. That's why I didn't want to have it a week away. Tomorrow night, we're going to walk in with step one. So tomorrow night, 7:30, step one. No review. I'm just going to come in, papers, anybody, if you have to follow it, boom. Straight into step one. Some of you are smiling. You say, oh, no, he's got a review. You just come and watch tomorrow night. Just see what the first thing I say tomorrow night. Okay. Let's go. Any questions about tonight? And if you do have them, please say so. Either here or later or call me, email me, put a note on a rock and throw the rock through my window. Jumping. Let me know. Okay. Okay. What an awesome God you are. The adversary never did figure out and never had figured you out. He has fought it. He has tried it. And he has filled our flesh with so many lies and so much doubt. But Heavenly Father, as we study the Scriptures and come to understand you, what an awesome God you are. That this little creature, speck of sand on the seashore, human beings, you care about. No matter our age, no matter our problems, our circumstances, you have given us a way so we do not have to be stressful and fear, bitter, angry. You've given us a way. We can live a life free of stress and depression, anxiety. Father, I pray that you will continue to guide us in this study. Let us grasp and take hold of your solutions. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.